Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Dear Father, we ask that you would keep your promise this morning that when your word goes forth, it will not return to you void. Make it work in our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. It kind of surprises me that people will go online and ask the whole World Wide Web for advice. Does that seem kind of odd? I don't know. Yes, you're going to get a lot of opinions, I guess. There are places you can do that. Yahoo Answers is one of those places. Maybe you've seen that. It pops up, you know, when you Google things oftentimes. Yahoo Answers. And what also surprises me is that somebody will ask a question and people will actually take the time to answer it. I don't quite get it. I don't know. You don't even know if it's a serious question sometimes, but people will answer it. And I'll give you an example. There's a guy who got a traffic ticket, and his traffic ticket was lost somewhere in the bureaucracy, in the court system. They lost his ticket, and so he asks this on Yahoo Answers. I went to court, and they didn't have my ticket in the system. They give me proof. Sorry, sick. Is that what you say when it's like that? That's the way it was spelled. They give me proof that I went on their time. So weeks later, I got a letter saying they do not have my ticket. Here's his question: do I have to pay for the ticket, or should I give them the original? Because they don't have any proof that I got the ticket. What should I do? Here's my favorite answer. This is by Mark 95:116. He says, that's their problem. Let them fix it. In other words, let the giant sleep. I like that answer. I don't know. Let the giant sleep. But that was not the best answer. I don't know how they rank these answers. I guess people like them or something. And here's the best one by Cheer with Style. Somebody's screen name. Cheer with Style. You sound lucky to me. You just got off the hook. That's her answer, I guess. Just got off the hook. All because that little piece of paper with the charges written on it was lost somewhere in the bureaucracy of the state or the county somewhere. Our lesson for this morning talks about some charges that were against us. But they weren't lost. They were wiped away by God Himself. Our lesson is found in the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Verses 13 and 14, and here's what it says. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, that is with Jesus, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And you being dead, God says, he made alive. There are two conditions, spiritual conditions, that Paul talks about in this passage. The first one is spiritual death, The second one is spiritual life. And he says this. Well, let me just read it. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. What does that mean? Being dead in your trespasses. What does that mean? Well, it means the same thing that Paul says in Ephesians when he writes that they were dead in sin. They had been dead in sin. What does that mean? It can't mean that they're physically dead, otherwise he wouldn't be writing a letter to them. So it can't mean that. It has to mean something else. And what it means is spiritual death. That is, that these people had been dead to the things of God. That's what he means. They were dead to the things of God. In other words, they couldn't properly contemplate God. They couldn't properly know him. They couldn't know his will. They couldn't obey him from the heart. They couldn't submit to him. They couldn't even begin to believe in him. They were dead. That's what he means. Spiritual death. But it's worse than just that, because the whole time that they were dead to the things of God, they were alive in another way. They were alive to the things of the devil, to the things of Satan, and to the things of this world and their own sinful flesh. Oh, they were alive, all right. They were alive in that way, but they were dead to God. So while they were not living for God, they were living for Satan. And now somebody might say, well, come on, you sound like everything they were doing was sinful. Well, yeah, it was. Everything. You say, now come on, I know some people who are not Christians and they do good things. In one way, yes, they do. But in another way, no, they don't. Because the Bible says that whatever is not of faith is sin. That's all-encompassing. Whatever is not of faith is sin. You say, how can that be? Now, come on. How can that be that everything that is not done in faith in Christ Jesus is sin? Think of it this way. God created you, and by rights, he owns you. You belong to him. And so, by right, every breath you take ought to be done for him. Every decision that you ever make should be done for him. Every thought you think should be thoughts of him and for him. Right? By rights, isn't that what God says when he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind? Everything should be for him. Everything in your life. And so you can see how deeply people are in sin who haven't had their sins washed away. Everything is a sin for someone who doesn't know God. Everything. And by the way, when you think of the depth of it, even we who belong to God, who are his children, his believing children, just think of how we miss that mark, right? That everything, every thought I think should be thoughts for him, and every step I take should be a step for him. How far short of that I fall. And you do too. So what is the answer to this death? Now, you might think, well, be better then. We've got to be better. Perfection is the answer to that. But the answer to death is not perfection. The answer to death is resurrection. That's the answer to death. We've got to be raised to life. And that is what happened to the Colossians. And you, Paul says, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive. There's resurrection there. He's made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. What people need is a Savior. That's what they need. Not perfection. We need a Savior who is perfect, but we don't need perfection. We need a Savior. Someone to raise us back to life. First of all, we need a Savior who will deal with the root cause of this death that we are in, this state of death. And that root cause is sin. That's what Jesus did. When Paul says that he wiped out the handwriting that was against us, when it was nailed to the cross with him. What is that handwriting that was against us? Well, that's the law. That's God's law. It's all of his commands. Old and New Testament, it's all of it. There were all of those commands were against us because we were breaking them all. And in particular, so in general, it's all of God's law, but in particular, it is those ones that lie heavy on your conscience. Ponder that for a minute, will you? Is there something that lies heavy on your mind sometimes? When things are quiet and you have time to think, when you remember your past, your high school years, your maybe last week, is there something that lies on your conscience? You know what? It's been wiped out. It doesn't exist. It's gone. It's in your memory only. It's not in God's. He wiped it out. It's the only thing God ever forgets are your sins. He can forget that because he wills to forget it. And when Jesus bled his blood on the cross, those sins that were nailed there with him were all washed away. And so you see, we have a Savior who took away our sins, but we also need something else. We also need a Savior who will raise us from the dead. Because how can we receive this forgiveness if we're dead? And notice what this passage says. And you being dead in your trespasses, he has made alive together with him. When Jesus rose from the dead, you rose with him. Now, how does that happen? Well, it happens by the power of the Word of God that works faith in your heart. And sometimes that Word of God comes as the bare Word of God. And sometimes when you read it, when you hear it, and sometimes it comes mixed with water. But that's where the power is to raise the dead. It's all connected with his death and resurrection. So you have a Savior then who not only is able to wash away your sins, but who is able to raise you from the dead by the power of his word. Would you bow your head with me now in prayer? Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that by your word you've brought us out of the darkness of death into the light of your grace. And now we ask that you would mercifully help us to walk in that light. Guard us from all error. Grant that we might not become ungrateful and despise it, but receive it with all our hearts, your word. Govern our lives according to it, and work in us that we will continue to put our trust in it. Through the merit of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.